You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome once again to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are joined by Barry Randall, the founder of Crabtree Asset Management, which runs the Crabtree Fund, a private technology investment model. He has been working as an analyst and portfolio manager since 1993 and is also a Covestor model manager. He is 51 years old and lives and works in St. Paul, Minnesota. Barry, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Well, I'm very glad to be here, Eric. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. So first of all, why did you start Crabtree Asset Management?
Well, the story starts about 4 years ago in 2008. When I lost my job as a portfolio manager for a New York-based financial services firm. This occurred in September of that year. And I was, obviously, that wasn't what I was hoping for in my career trajectory, but these things happen. But what happened next was that the another New York firm, Lehman Brothers, which may be familiar to your listeners, failed somewhat abruptly. That begets kind of the end game of the financial crisis during that year and in 2009. And when that happened, I went from thinking of myself to, you know, finding a job sooner to finding a job later. And I thought to myself, what will I need if I might go for a period of time measured in months and years without so much as a job or even a job interview? What will I need to have if I want to work again in the business? And the answer is a track record, because a track record when you're managing money is pretty much everything. It's your calling card, it's your resume, it's pretty much everything. And so I thought to myself, well, what I need to do at this point is to start a small company and start managing a modest amount of money of my own and create a track record so that if I find myself with an opportunity, I can demonstrate that my skills are contemporary and up-to-date and, of course, good. And so starting Crabtree was the genesis of that, and the goal was to create the track record. But in the 4 years that have occurred since then, I've created the track record, but I've also created a fully functioning company that could manage hundreds of millions of dollars if it needed to. I'm not managing it yet, but that's understandable for reasons I'll get to perhaps later in the interview. So I started Crabtree because I needed a job and ended up basically creating a job for myself.
You got to love that. Now, what were the biggest hurdles to starting your company, and what has been the biggest hurdles to keeping it going?
Well, let's see. Starting the business, I knew going into it that one of the most difficult things would be distribution. And distribution is just kind of a $10 word that really means the ability to sell my product, what I was offering, which is a private technology fund, to other people. Typically, if you're one of these large companies that your listeners might be familiar with, like a Fidelity or a T. Rowe Price or something like that, they obviously have whole divisions which are designed in order to take in investors' money and then distribute it and invest it in the ways that they desire. In my case, distribution would normally, for a small company like Crabtree, would normally be handled by employing a broker, which would take in the money that would be managed by me, and also purchasing computer software and systems that would help me manage clients, you know, manage, create monthly statements for them, create end-of-year tax records, and so forth. But the two difficulties there are that creating a brokerage relationship with a broker like a Schwab or Ameritrade or someone like that, they typically want you to have $10 or $20 million managed already, just starting with them. And obviously, I didn't have that right away. And getting that software and systems in place, that would cost about $100,000 in cash up front. And I wasn't interested in spending that money either. So it was a pretty big hurdle. Distribution was a pretty big hurdle initially. And ultimately, that was solved because I discovered other companies that would serve essentially as my storefront, as my marketplace entry. And I'll talk about that in a little bit because But finding the distribution was, I knew, going to be difficult. It turned out to be easier than expected, but there have been some hurdles along the way. The other big hurdle, I guess, to starting the business was what I call the Jack Daniels problem. And that's not the usual Jack Daniels problem, but specifically, Jack Daniels, like any manufacturer of aged products, needed to be manufacturing their Scotch whiskey years and years in advance of selling it, because part of, I guess, the Scotch whiskey business is that it needs to be aged. So they had to be making it and stashing it away before they could sell it for years and years. In the financial services world, a track record and the length of the track record is paramount. And in my case, a minimum of 3 years was going to be necessary before I could find anyone beyond friends and family to invest with me. So I knew that going in. Again, the genesis was about creating a track record, but I knew that eventually I wanted to have clients, and that was going to take a period of time measured in at least 3 years. Fortunately, we crossed that three-year hurdle last year, and so we're moving a little bit more aggressively. In terms of hurdles, in terms of keeping it going, I think the biggest hurdle is just keeping costs down as I go forward. I've been fortunate. I've been able to run the business on about $8,000 to $10,000 a year in expenses, filing expenses, regulatory filings and so forth, a year-end audit and so forth. But there are other ongoing expenses like updating my website, for example. Even though I don't make any active changes to the website, technology makes changes for me, and I need to keep up with those changes. Also, finding effective advertising has been a constant difficulty. I spend a modest amount on advertising, but finding effective advertising is proving to be a, if not a hurdle, certainly a speed bump.
As someone whose business involves analyzing other companies, did you find that advantageous?
As it turns out, I did, and for an interesting reason. The first distributor that I found, which was a company in California called Wealthfront, which, again, was one of these firms willing to serve as kind of a storefront for small companies, small startup companies like mine. Wealthfront was a Silicon Valley startup, kind of a classic technology startup, and they themselves were a small growing business. And, of course, once I engaged in a relationship with them where they were going to serve as the storefront for Crabtree, you know, obviously their health was as interesting to me as my own company's health. And so because my line of work is in the analysis of and the investment in small companies, technology companies, it was helpful to me to be able to sort of look with a kind of X-ray vision at how Wealthfront was doing and figure out their lifespan. And that turned out to matter a great deal because I knew what their funding requirements were and how much venture capital money they had taken in, and I could calculate what their burn rate was and whether they were profitable and so forth. So I knew what their lifespan was going to be as well as probably they did. And I could see that while our relationship was good, they were not making the necessary they were not meeting their own growth hurdles, and I could see them going away. So I started earlier than I might have otherwise, because I could see this coming, to finding another distribution partner, and I subsequently did find one, and we now have a relationship with them as well. But my ability, because it's my line of work, to see how Wealthfront was doing proved to be very important, and I was able to move some of my clients from that platform over to the new platform as well. So it is an advantage and one that I've already made use of.
Today we're joined by Barry Randall, the founder of Crabtree Asset Management, which runs the Crabtree Fund, a private technology investment model, and has been working as an analyst and portfolio manager since 1993, and is also a co-vestor model manager here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Barry, what did you think would be easy about starting a business that turned out to be hard? What has been easier than you expected along the way?
Well, let's see. Easier than I thought, or harder than I thought, I guess I would say. I'm a pretty confident person, and I'm in my 50s now, so I've managed to do a variety of things. in my life. And I figured when I started a company that I would probably be able to do many of the things required by myself. I wasn't starting a huge manufacturing company from scratch, wasn't hiring a lot of salespeople, and I felt like, well, gosh, there's a lot of things that I can probably do on my own here. One of which, for example, was building my own company's website. In a prior life, before I began working on Wall Street, I used to be a computer programmer professionally, so I had those skills. And I was able to create Crabtree's first-generation website, and it was functional, and it met the needs that I laid out for it. But I quickly learned, both by my own learning curve as well as looking at the websites, the very high-quality websites that some of my peers and competitors had, that I was never going to be able to be on top of that as well as I thought I would. And so within 6 months, I had already engaged a third party, a local web developer here in the Twin Cities, to help me with that process. And in fact, that relationship continues to this day. That small firm has been in charge of my website with my direction since that time. And that has occasionally been the case with other elements of my business. I believed that I could do more than I could. I'd like to think it was a sign of maturity or experience or a mix of both that I was quick to move off that if I felt like I wasn't going to be able to put forth the highest quality work and the highest quality presentation to outsiders. And so that was harder than I thought it was going to be, but I feel like I've made a constructive decision to make sure that quality always comes first rather than cost when possible. In terms of what's been easier than expected, I guess, well, first is, as I mentioned, I knew distribution was going to be, or felt distribution was going to be one of my biggest hurdles, and thanks to working with these outside partners, Wealthfront first, and now my current relationship with a company called Covestor, which is my current distributor, that's gone better than I'd anticipated, and more easy. Additionally, I would say, because I'm in the investments business, I rely on a steady flow of information about companies, about industries, about the economy. And I thought that when I left the paycheck earning world of official Wall Street and started my own firm, that I would miss, many of those high quality sources of information that I had access to just being an employee of a large company. But as it turns out, the Internet is a great provider of a lot of high-quality information if you're willing to search for it. And in my case, I was able to create a computer program which actually goes out and finds information that I need specifically. And that information is essentially presented free of charge. So I'm able to use that in my own business now and incorporate that in my decision process. So that's been a pleasant surprise, and certainly that information is valuable. Of course, how you use that information is really what separates a good money manager, from a bad one. And so far, my track record indicates that I'm still closer to the former than the latter.
And what's the most valuable piece of advice you might give to people wanting to start a company?
Let's see. Well, I think the one thing that comes to mind is that it involves reputation. For someone starting a company in my position, where I had 20 years of experience professionally and had a lot of contacts and had what I believe, I'll let others judge, but what I believe was a good reputation for good judgment and so forth. What I've discovered in the 4 years that I've been running Crabtree is that your reputation really starts with the founding of your company. You may have done it beforehand, and you may have done it well and have a good reputation, but beyond friends and family, you're never going to be able to build a business entirely on friends and family who already know your reputation. Almost all of the prospects you meet, almost all the clients you'll gather, will only know you and know your company since the company started. And in my case, my company started just under 4 years ago, and that's what I have to present to people. So I have learned not to emphasize my prior life when I'm speaking with prospects or clients, and emphasize more what Crabtree has done since Crabtree's been in existence, And I'm always looking for ways to kind of burnish or curate, if you can use that word, the reputation, you know, Crabtree's reputation. For example, at the beginning of this interview, I mentioned how important a track record was. And so I've taken great lengths, I've gone to great lengths to make sure that my track record is audited and that it's documented and that I'm in professional databases like Morningstar, which may be a name familiar to some of your listeners, and to basically essentially cement Crabtree and its existence as the primary thing that I'm presenting to any prospect or client. I may be a good guy and paid all my taxes and been a good solid citizen for a long time, but my experience in starting Crabtree has been that your reputation really only extends back to the beginning of your company, and you should make all your advertising and marketing decisions based on that. And I think that'll be a better use of your time and your funds.
How about telling our listeners, if you would, where they could get more information about Crabtree Asset Management?
Oh, sure, and thanks. The best way would be to go to either my own firm's website, which is crabtree-am.com, AM as in asset management, or to go to the homepage on Covestor, which is my current distribution platform, and they can be found at Covestor, that's covestor.com/crabtree-asset-management/crabtree-technology. It's a mouthful, but you can almost certainly find me if you just go into a search engine like Google and type in Crabtree space Covestor, and you'll certainly come to my Covestor homepage.
Very good. And finally, any financial advice that you could lend to the listener in conclusion?
Well, I will say that skill is separated by luck by time. In other words, there will be a lot of people out there offering financial advice and saying you can make this in a short amount of time, or we'll guarantee that you'll make 12% over 10 years or whatever it is. But those are almost always false promises. There's really no shortcut to just high quality investing, investing in good companies and staying with them for periods of time measured in months and years. The short run is almost always dominated by what we call in the business noise,